At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
While the kids watch Bluey, Bitcoin ordinals, yeah, I do it chewy. Kyle on FX, Web3, Gamer Flex. Kids think I'm cool, but I just pay the checks.
Digit dance, living on the edge. Diapers in crypto, making our pledge. From Bitcoin blocks to NFT stacks, we're riding Web3 and never looking back.
Hey, we're the Digit dads, diapers in DeFi. Two crypto nerds just trying to get by.
Yo, GM, everybody. What is going on here? We're matching the market right now with the vibes. There we go. It's Chris Coffey joined by my co-host.
Kyle, what up? What up,
Wilson?
Happy to be live.
The title says it all. The government is reopening. President Trump signed the bill to have it reopened. Everybody was waiting on this moment and the stimmy checks for the market to go up. And both the crypto market and the stock market are down on the day. So what happened? Let's talk about it in this episode. Kyle's already pulling up some charts.
Baby. Right. Look at this, man. Bitcoin holding around 101. There was Scott Bessent saying, you know, there's a hiccup in the market from the shutdown. You know, this is a key node here of accumulation, but we're a little bit below that. So one could say that, you know, RSI 7 is actually hitting that 30 mark. So we could be a little oversold. So time will tell, though. We'll see if Bitcoin can hold that 100K level. Obviously, if it does, that's bullish and creates a little bit of an upside pressure. Now, Bitcoin, if we pull back to like the one day here, you can still, it's in this like frame, this like still bull flagging real like right here. So I would like to see Bitcoin hold. I mean, there's another node here down at like 96, but you'd like to see it hold 100 and press ups because it already hit this bottom support level. So we'd like to see more upside in the coming days as we close, get it closer, you know, with more market, you know, I guess like Congress doing their, I guess, back in business is what I was trying to think of. And possibly signing this act into law here. This is like the Crypto Clarity Act, the Digital Asset Market Clarity Act of 2025. They're supposed to be working on that ASAP, which could create some nice positive upside to that. So that's that.
We had Stay Winning Wealth saying, good morning, winners. GM. Stay Winning.
What up, what up?
He has a podcast of his own. Big Cardano person got me a Snake Energy drink a long time ago. Shout out to him. Yeah, I mean, you just showed the TA side of it. I'm not the best TA. I am good at keeping up with news and fundamentals. As I kind of mentioned at the beginning, I'll go ahead and share my screen on it. Trump did sign the bill, which is a funny comment I want to talk about in a second. I mean, this is basically just showing him sign it.
I can't hear.
Oh no. Well, he said that the country's never been in better shape. We went through this thing because the Democrats, and basically signs the bill to reopen the government and everybody applauses. I do think it's super ironic. This isn't even like trying to get political here, but that the government causes the shutdown, but the government also is like pats themselves on the back for reopening. I don't know. Yeah. I know it might not have been like Trump's single call to be like, hey, we're closing the government, but it is kind of funny. Like, you just have a room of people that probably had a hand in shutting it down.
You're like, yeah. I mean, I get why. I mean, there's politics at play. You know, yeah. I think it probably should have remained shut down longer. But some of the Democrats like ended up caving and, you know, and now we're here. Now, I don't know if you saw, though, there's a lot of news at the airport. So getting jammed up, and I kind of knew it was going to reopen because I'm like, constituents anywhere, whether whatever political party you are, like that's a no bueno thing for people that are in business and they have to travel. Like you're going to get a lot of phone calls from your constituents telling you like, what the heck here? And if there's not no, if flights are grounded, people aren't being able to travel. That's a major problem. That's a huge hit to the economy and the US airlines and that whole ecosystem of like, that's a huge part of the economy. So I wasn't too surprised. And, but at the same time, you know, politics is politics and that's what we get.
Yeah, definitely, man. I know Easy missed some flights because of that. Dude, somebody lost $500,000 because of this. So we talk about Polymarket a lot on here. And, you know, we talk about like some people, you know how like and the odds will get to like 95% and they'll just assume it's like a shoe-in and they'll just full port it just to like get that like 1%, that 5% or whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody did that on the government shutdown. And they basically, they lost $500,000 because it was at 95% odds that on November 12th, I guess there wouldn't be any sort of signage of the government shutdown or like whatever progressed for this bet on Polymarket. And they were, and then it reversed. It went from 95% to that came out that they signed it. And it, they literally just lost all of their money.
Yeah, that's brutal. And we'll see more of that in the prediction markets. Like, you know, things that you think is 100% certainty and it's not. And I kind of knew this was going to happen. Like, I was like, people are saying it's going to be like November 20th. And I was like, I don't know. Like the airports are like, everybody's freaking out about the airports and that's a huge problem. And I think people were not really looking at the wider scope. Like they're just looking at the shutdown and the bubble, right? They didn't have like the economy in mind. And I think that's one of the things that you have to look at with these things is like, how is it going to affect daily people's lives? Like, it doesn't matter what party you are. You're going to get pissed off if you can't get on your flight. You can't go see your family. You know, holidays are coming up on Thanksgiving. Imagine flights shut down during Thanksgiving. That is a no bueno for the average American person. Yeah. Doesn't matter what party you're in. You're going to get calls from those people. If you're a senator or a house rep, and you're going to get your butt chewed out, whatever party you're on. We know the Republicans were mostly, you know, wanting to open it up and they just didn't want to negotiate with the Democrats. But, you know, Democrats kind of had that kind of ticking time bomb where, you know, constituents are probably going to make those phone calls. And so that's why I was like, I don't know, we might see it sooner. And sure enough, it was the next day. I was like, dang, that happened quick.
Well, yeah, it happened. That's why people got wrecked on it. They're almost to the end of this, right? And so this is a little important to go in a little bit more detail, like how to avoid this happening to you. A lot of this really depends on like the way the market is resolved. And you can read that in the terms. So like this person might've thought it was a shoe-in, like it might've been 10 p.m. or something like that. And they were like, oh, there's no way it's going to resolve in 2 hours. But the fine print might say like, according to this source, if this is updated on this day or whatever. And it's like, even though you might even be more factually correct than the market prediction, if it has it in the terms on what they're going off of for the resolution, you need to understand that. So if you're betting big money on these things, you got to know that. Tyler also points out here that prediction markets were wildly wrong on the data until this past weekend. Resolution criteria out of the line with the spirit of the market, risk of betting on heavy favorites. So yeah, just be careful out there with these prediction market bets because you don't want to end up like this person that lost $500,000.
Speaking of which, I don't know if you saw, but it looks like Arbitrum's getting their own prediction market. So that's just a little piece of side news. Forecast GG looks like they're going to be doing different kinds of markets other than what you see in Polymarket and Kalshi. So it looks like they're going to be doing gaming and live stream markets over there as well. So I thought that was kind of cool. They're getting their own prediction market. So now I think they're just adding Arbitrum. I think they're actually on Ronin too, but I would imagine a lot of the volume is going to come from Arbitrum. And they have a cute little character. It's a little dragon. I like
that. Yeah, that is cool. I'm surprised there's not already a meme coin. You know, back in the meme coin season, there would already be a meme coin of that, and it would already be at like 10 mil.
Yeah.
Or no longer in those days.
No, I think we'll have to get back to bullish sentiment, you know, and we may even see a meme coin, a couple meme coins pop off hard leading into like a bull run because you kind of see that sometimes. Some, like, I think Doge caused like a bull run in 2021 or something. It was like GME, then Doge, then it was like new all-time highs.
Yeah.
We could see that again. So I don't want to rule out. Now, when I look at the trenches are cooked for sure. But culture coins and meme coins that have like significant communities, I think those will do well moving into this coming year. But on the bright side, there is some pretty interesting stuff here. So let me see if I can back out.
We got some kick emojis going. We got W.
Let's go. I'm Doc.
Yeah, you can't really see him on this, but you can see him on Kick.
So some other bullish things would be, I guess, like to reboot the crypto market. You know, Elon Musk says X Money is going to be rolling out. Obviously, it's probably just going to be currency, fiat, regular stuff. But we could see some speculation popping up here. This would be a massive thing for X. I mean, they're updating their chat. They're updating a lot of things and making their platform better. And so we could see something there. I don't know. That's just kind of speculation on my end. Another thing is token sales on Coinbase. So this is a huge, 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 massive update. It says here, whales, insiders, and flippers shouldn't be the only winners from token launches. We're launching a token sales platform on Coinbase to give teams a new way to distribute the tokens to the community and give community early access to their favorite tokens. And for the first time since 2018, retail users in the United States can widely participate. This is huge. I mean, ICOs were massive back in 2017, 2018. And this is where a lot of people actually got rich. I mean, a lot of early crypto comers in 2017, 2018 participated in a lot of ICOs and were able to make millions of dollars. And to this day, they're, you know, now they've launched platform, their own platforms, media brands, and have been just chilling. So I think this is a massive opportunity. And I do think there's going to be a lot of traction here as we move forward. And they kind of give you a whole breakdown how to participate with that, you know, deposit, convert to USDC. So USDC is going to be the denominator there. Then you're going to go over to tap token banner, request allocation, put your amount and submit the order. And it's simple as that.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy stuff, man.
So I'm going to pull up my phone because I got an email for this that was kind of important. It was actually a notification from Coinbase. Again, I'm not just scrolling. I'm actually like trying to remember exactly what the notification said. But it is interesting because what I read was basically you're going to get a...
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Probably a pretty small allocation if you're just a regular Coinbase. Here it is. You're not going to be able to see this, and I can't like share it on my screen or anything. But pretty much what it says is if you're just a regular Coinbase user, even just like with the Coinbase One account, which I have, I pay like $30 a month for or something like that, you can participate in the Monad sale, which is on the 17th. Yeah, you can do that. But you can get 5x more tokens if you are their like highest Coinbase user, which is like a lot of money. It's like $300 a month, or I think it's more than that. It might be $3,000 a month. No, it's whatever it is, it's very expensive. So what I'm a little scared of here is it's still going to be a pay to win type of thing. Like these people that are wealthy enough to afford $4,000 a year, which I guess doesn't sound like that much in hindsight, can get way more of the allocations than like a regular paying customer. It kind of just feels like it feels a little gated, but it also makes sense on Coinbase's business model because they're like, hey, here's ICOs. But by the way, pay us this much money if you actually want meaningful contribution to them. So that's something that they didn't make very clear until I went to their app. And I'm a pro Coinbase person, by the way. Like I said, I pay for Coinbase. I'm typically one of the few people in heavy in the crypto space that like recommends Coinbase to like regular people. I'm not typically like I'll tell them the risk and stuff, but dude, even the risk, like if you pay for Coinbase One, which is like, I don't know, 20 or 30 bucks a month, you get $10,000 in coverage. So like, even if like somebody like you know, you accidentally send your crypto to a scammer, or like your app gets hacked or anything like that, like you're covered up to $10,000. The worst case scenario is that the Coinbase pulls an FTX. And so that's why, like, if you're a power user, if you have six figures on it, then sure, like self-custody that stuff. But I mean, if Coinbase pulls an FTX, like we have much bigger issues than like the you losing your couple thousand dollars, in my opinion. You know, at the end of the day, like, sure, self-custody for everybody, I think, is important and to understand. But if I'm telling like my person that's struggling on how to buy Bitcoin, like, I'll tell them the risk, you know, of centralized exchanges, but I just don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, no diggity, no doubt. Looks like Elon is, let me see if I can pull my screen once more.
Big A's in chat. He said he got offered extra 2.5X for one membership. I need to check that. I have a one membership. I just don't have the highest membership, which is, here, I can look. Yeah, go ahead.
So Elon just tweeted, X money comes out soon. Again, this could be very bullish. I mean, I really do think they're going to add crypto. I don't know when that's going to be, but they do got money transmitter licenses to a lot of, you know, different states. And the fact that like crypto is becoming normalized, you know, USDC could be on the table, but I would laugh if he added like Doge or Floki to the mix. Cause obviously like he's massive on the, like, you know, Doge and meme coins. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but would be hilarious. But yeah, that's something to definitely keep an eye on. He says, join us if you're going to build cool products. X will be the everything app. And that makes me believe everything will include crypto as well. Eventually. I don't know when, but it's something to definitely pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I mean, it's worth noting, like, there's people that are affiliated with X that, like, I think even Nikita Bear, who's been like popular lately because he's just cracked out. Like, that's all he does is like dev work, respond to things and whatever. He built a product on Solana, if I'm not mistaken, you know? And so like the actual X team is like, obviously like very, yeah. I mean, dude, Nikita Bear is literally an advisor on Solana. Like, come on. Like the guy that like is most seen besides Elon Musk on Twitter is, I mean, literally has it in his bio, you know, that he was advisor of Solana, venture partner at Lightspeed, which is, oh dang it. Where'd it go? At Lightspeed, which I don't know if that's a crypto native app or not. Gas app team. I mean, like, he's clearly crypto native. And so is a lot of other people. Oh, where'd my screen go? But yeah, so is a lot of other people that are affiliated with X. So, I mean, like, it doesn't surprise me that they're going to, like, heavily integrate it. I mean, like, I would say that Elon repost, like, Doge Designer, and which is also affiliated with X. No, actually affiliated with Doge, and like other people like that more than anybody else I know. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they immediately launch support for crypto related products. It looks like they're building the products.
Yeah, absolutely. I also, like, I don't know, there's something to be said about like going back to like the base topic is Base's ecosystem. So I know like this kind of is back to the last topic, but how do we get our faces? Yeah, there we go. I think just messing around with that, they're exploring a token. I think that's kind of like alpha. Like, they said it more than once now. Like, they said it like 2 or 3 times. They launched, you know, Zora. They launched Base. They have like more products that they're working on the pipeline. I think that could be an interesting move. Obviously, the token sale thing, they're trying to obviously be like an everything app as well. Like, they're trying to be like Robinhood, and Robinhood's trying to be like Coinbase. And they're kind of like competing for that market share. But also, like, you know, if Base is going to have a token, like, that's massive, because that puts a leg up on Robinhood, who doesn't have a token currently. They're just going to be using the infrastructure of Arbitrum to like help run their chain, which is going to be like tokenized, you know, stocks and all that. Maybe they'll have a gas token associated with that, like long run, or some sort of, you know, subsidized, like, you know, I don't know, maybe some sort of stable coin on Arbitrum to like boost up that, maybe, I don't know. But I just think that like the aspect of at least Base exploring a token, that could be very massive. And I think that would be like easily a top 15 token like overnight. So we'll see about that. I think it's good to play around in the ecosystem. Chris sent me a Base referral. And so I'm on Base app, and I'm also on Zora. And we got to get the Dejan Dads over there too. So
yeah, we do.
I think just in general, like if you're on Aerodrome, swap, doing your swaps over there, continue to play in the ecosystem, that could pay possibly some dividends. I was a part of the Arbitrum airdrop, and that thing was massive. That was like a $6,000 airdrop or something crazy, or maybe it wasn't that much, but that was one of the best airdrops I've been a part of like ever in crypto. And that one was like super high paying just based on activity. And we could see the same thing here. I think that's going to be interesting. And then obviously MetaMask doing their airdrop. So a little bit of alpha there on both of those. You know, they're using Linea, I guess MetaMask is. I'm not really sure, but at least you can farm their point system, and we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. MetaMask is doing like campaigns like OpenSea is before their actual airdrop. And they're currently on the Linea campaign, which like all activity goes towards the Linea airdrop. But just like anything, if you use the product, it'll probably increase your airdrop allocation. So I don't think there's much risk there to do that.
And breaking news here. I got some breaking news here.
Is it bad? Because the Bitcoin's like at 100K right now.
Breaking news. This is huge, massive breaking news. Dejan Dads, we have seven member requests pending. We actually have an update. You can actually join now for free once again. Now, however, we have our classroom that's going to be open to premium members and above. And then we have calls. Calls on a weekly basis where we still got to schedule those like recurring, but we usually have those on like Friday. Those recordings will also be available for premium and VIP members. VIP can actually join the call live. So we have some cool updates in the Dejan Dads school community. If again, free to join, and you guys are more than welcome. We're over 104 members right now. Obviously, that puts us up to about 111. So we're going to continue to grow over there. That's something I would get into.
Yes, sir. That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. It's fun over there. You know, I was talking earlier, I didn't give the plug at the time, but about how I don't feel like explaining to like somebody I just met about like the risk of centralized, or not, I'll explain to them the risk of centralized exchanges, but I don't want to walk them through setting up a wallet, self-custody and all that, right? That's one of the reasons why we do school. We do have that class that's like, this is what a centralized exchange is versus a decentralized exchange. And then this is how to set up a wallet. And if you do set up a wallet, this is how to self-custody. This is how to use your wallet in Web3 native and be able to connect it to things. We have all that just like walked through. So,
and there'll be more courses in there. I mean, we could do even Coinbase courses, like how to buy on Coinbase. I had one of my family members asking me like how to, you know, just buy crypto literally on just Coinbase. Like for some people it's easy, for some people it's not. It's scary. And when you're spending $1,000 on a coin, that's like a nervous situation. So we may create courses around stuff like that to really help people as a whole. So check that out. And then our calls are about alpha and like stuff to look out for, and Q&A, like 10 minutes of Q&A at the end. So if you guys have questions, that's the plug right there. And we have our other Dejan Dad, Crypto Crier as well, who joins us on calls occasionally, and also is in the community dropping some macro, you know, type of new, some macro breakdowns of crypto.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
GM, what's up, Mario?
GM. Dude, one thing I didn't mention, and I would like to do a BZ pool, at least one before the day's up, even though I got to reload my wallet because I've been degenning like crazy on there. There was the largest tokenization ever yesterday of a card, and it was via BZ, and they tokenized the PSA 10. I'm not even reading this right now. I just remember it. They tokenized the PSA 10 Charizard for three. It was a $300,000 card, man. Oof. Yeah. Pretty substantial. So I wanted to highlight that real quick. A really big celebration for really big celebration for tokenization of real world assets right there. So let me get this going. Here we go. All right, now we're in business. All right. Yeah, so record sale, first edition base set, holo PSA 10, $300,000. Card, and there's only 125 of these PSA 10s in existence for this Charizard. So very rare. The person who actually bought it and tokenized it is DCF God, who's like a collector, and he's trying to collect all 151 base set PSA, or sorry, all 151 PSA 10 cards. And so congrats to him for sealing that very pricey one. Pretty cool to see. Also, BZ's been kind of delivering some crazy stuff. All right, here it is. Yeah, he says, hold on. He has 40 out of 151 PSA 10. So all these, he has PSA 10. Pretty crazy. I would love just to collect all 151, any PSA. That's kind of what I'm working towards my collection. Speaking of my collection, in a minute, I'll go ahead and pull. The Claw has been a heater recently. Like this TGC 50, I don't know if they were pulled last night. One of them was, I think. For this $50 Claw, they have a Rayquaza in here that's $2,000. And then they have a another one that's $1,444, another one that's $1,389. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take this my screen off this just for a minute and fill up my wallet with some I'll send some money over and yeah. I'll do some pulls. Until then, Kyle, if you want to take over.
Yeah. So back to here. They also had some pretty other cool news here. BZ and Collector Crip joining as sponsors of the first Poke Hackathon for AI agents. So if you are a developer, the prize pool is $20,000. So, you know, hack away. It looks like the goal is to build AI agents that extend the collector economy, not by replacing cards or collectors, but by enhancing how they create, trade, and manage value. So I don't know. I think that like the sky's the limit there. This market, I think, is going to only continue to grow. You know, again, people are just busy. You know, they don't necessarily want to have to go into all the different stores and open the packs. They just want a fair shot at something pretty decent. And I think this on-chain stuff is going to be the future. And as like time goes on, interacting with AI agents is going to be pretty normalized with the average, you know, person in the world, you know, just being able to talk to it like you do with your Alexa, Google Home or whatever. I think that's just I'm looking over at my like, see if it said anything. OK, so no. But yeah, I think that's just going to be a normal thing in the future. And stuff like this is really, really cool. And with robotics popping off with, I think, like, imagine a Pokemon AI agent like inside your robot and you're just telling your robot to like execute an order. Like you're just chilling on the couch, like watching the game or you're telling like whatever. Right. So I think cool stuff like that is going to play out in the future, but kind of seeing everything being built in the infancy. So shout out to CreatorBid for hosting all this. I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's sick, dude. I'm trying to use my imagination for like Pokemon AI agents. I kind of get stunted, but I'm excited to see what other people do.
Yeah, facts.
I always imagined if like every no, not quite yet. I'm still trying to work on it. But I always imagined if like everybody, if you played a Pokemon game and every NPC in that game was like a fully AI autonomous, like how crazy that would be. Like imagine just going up to like a character and like talking with them and they end up they have like a whole backstory of their whole life of how they got to where they were. You know, it's insane to think about.
Yeah. Right. And then the market cap of virtual, speaking of which, you know, it's been kind of just lagging, consolidating sideways around a dollar ish area, ran as low as like dang, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think it's pulling.
Yeah, you can switch over.
Yep. Dang, this was like so last minute. All right, I pulled a $27 Lucario. This was a 2013 from the Black and White Plasma Storm. I'm going to swap that back, and that will actually power another pool. I paid with Solana because you can, but it's like there's no way to wait for it. So we're going to do the last 50 right now. I'll have the screen. Sorry, Kyle, to cut you off. And we'll go back. We'll do two pulls today, $100 worth of pulls. Each one of these pulls that swap back gives you points on BZ as well. And we all know what points usually communicate to. And then you also get flow points, which will give you our flow rewards, which you can redeem for like AirPods and and all that. So this is a 99 Vulpix, which I'd normally be like stoked about. And it's a PSA 9, but this isn't the first edition set. I think this is like the unlimited, well, I forgot how to exactly say it, but it wasn't the exclusive set for first edition, which is like what I actually collect. But this is still a really cool card and a really old card. That's why it's priced at $33. You could get these like infinitely, you know, when you were a kid, but now they're $33 a pop. So that's crazy. And that technically gives me enough to hit the 30. I guess I'll go do the 30 just to kind of dry out my account again until I decide to top up. This will be the last one. The best thing I could possibly pull is this 1999 base set, which I would probably open, Kyle. I would not open. I would probably have that shipped to my house. I don't know. I probably would open it, to be honest with you. I would have to see what contents that it has in it. Would you open it, or would you just keep that the sealed?
I would keep it sealed because there's more value in it being sealed almost.
I know. And the chance,
look at Logan Paul buying, like dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars on like a sealed box.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's like no good grabs. There's no good like cards in there.
Dude, what are the odds of me pulling a 99 Vulpix and then the next pull is a 1999
pulling out the doggos?
Nine tails, bro.
What are the odds, bro? The dog meme coins are going to be back soon.
The dogs are your foxes, bro. The
dogs are going to be bad.
These are your foxes.
Close enough, bro. Close enough.
And this one was positive. The first one was negative. So I technically have enough to pull again. Should I? Or?
It's up to you. I do see some news, though, that I wanted to pull up in between a pool real quick.
All right, yeah, go for it.
Hello. All right, so let me pull this guy up. It looks like Fidgetals and Fwog or whatever teasing some stuff here. So I don't know what this is all about, but I know we haven't been on really Fidgetals much, but they do have a lot of different types of pack openings. They got Pokemon, baseball, basketball, One Piece, football. I don't know what this tease is all about, but I seen it a little bit on their feed. So
it's probably Fwog collectibles. So the CEO of Fidgetals has Rocks of Fwog PFP. Which were like,
literally the art producer for Fwog.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. To me, it makes sense that Web3, I actually had this argument like a couple days ago and I got cut off because the space ended. But it makes sense for these companies to team up with Web3 products because there's a bunch of already super fans with money and speculation. So like if you were to team up with like Bored Apes and put them in your claw machine, you're going to have a bunch of Bored Ape users trying to pull their ape or their favorite apes or whatever. Like you're going to have an automatic user base that like creates a lot of volume. So it 100% makes sense in content. So 100% makes sense for these companies like Fidgetals and BZ and all that to team up with well-known brands in the space. Not because it's mass adoption, but because they have this niche user base with money to spend. So I think it's a great idea. And it's also great for the company because the company is able to basically, I guess, sell their collectibles to BZ or get a cut of the sales or something like that. Mario said that NFT selling for 300K is insane. Makes me wonder if the NFT season will ever come back and what could kick it off. I think it's going to be tough because a ton of people got burned last cycle. All right, so a couple things. There was actually an NFT that sold for $600,000 yesterday, and that was a punk, a hoodie punk, which is like the more valuable punks. So there was over $500,000 NFT sale yesterday. But that Charizard we were just looking at was actually a physical card. Like it was a slab like this, and it sold for $300,000 like OTC, and then they put it on chain. So it wasn't really an NFT sale. It was a physical product sale that they then later tokenized. So once that sells, I guess you could consider that an NFT sale. It's attached to it, so it would kind of make sense. But just to clarify what we looked at earlier. All right, so I don't think this is going to be profitable because my last one was, and then the person that last pulled was also profitable. But we're gonna keep pulling, Kyle. We're going to keep pulling, see what we get. We got a $18 Clauncher 2023. I'm not a fan of new cards. I almost wish I would have kept that Vulpix or that Ninetales, but we're just cruising for content on some of these pools. As I was saying earlier, go ahead. Yeah,
real quick, we have some other news as well coming through. Crypto Slam is going to be the powering NFT data for Yahoo Finance. New crypto hub launching early next year. So speaking of NFTs, you're seeing deeper integration at more of a, I guess I would say like, I don't know, traditional media integration here. You saw this with Polymarket just yesterday, and now you're seeing Crypto Slam adding NFT data to Yahoo Finance. So speaking of NFTs.
Yeah, I want to say, didn't Crypto Slam, I know I've used their analytics before, and like, I don't even remember what it was for, but what it was for work. But they've always had really good analytics on, I think they started on ETH. They even did like some ordinal stuff. So that's kind of cool to see them really leveling up there. And as you, I mean, as that post just said too, like Polymarket is teaming up with Yahoo to do some type of predictions. So that's a pretty big partnership in itself. Yeah, I still have 30 somehow. I thought I wouldn't after that. So yeah, I got to pull one more. But I wanted to say the point system real quick. All these points that all these like constant pools I'm doing do add up in points. So all time, I have 23,000 points. I'm ranked 89 of all time. On the week, I'm ranked like 24. On the month, I'm ranked like 32. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what this leaderboard equals. But I'm really excited to see it. Yeah, I somehow have one claw pool. I have 48 cents over what I need. I don't know if there's going to be like a tax or something where it doesn't let me pool. But if it lets me pool, I'm going for it. Oh, I think this is just a bug. Wait, what just happened? I think that was just a bug, maybe.
Plasma Storm Lucario.
No, I think that was a bug. That's what I pulled the first time. I'm going to click swap just in case. But we're going to... Dang. We're going to actually do another pool with exactly like our 48 cents over to see what we get to end the day on the pools. I broke the claw. Like, all right, here we go. 48 cents in my account right now. That's funny. We pulled a 2023 Bulbasaur. This is from the poster collection. $20 on a $30 pool. Not bad, not bad. We'd only need $10 more for another pool, but we're going to call it a day. I really like the outline of this card, like that it's like how it looks, but not a card I'm going to keep. Again, I'm trying to collect the OGs. So, all right, that ends it for Chris Coffey's pulling streak today. We'll do more next time. I did pull some Kobe's a couple weeks ago. I didn't keep them because they're one size up and I would have actually worn them. I don't have anywhere to put shoes in my collection. It would have been sick to keep them though.
Nice. Well, I think that's, I'm fresh out of content on that. We covered a lot of breaking news, got at some nice pools. I know Mr. Beast theme park's opening up, not really related to crypto, but I saw that in Saudi Arabia and saw Orangey was going there. So semi crypto ish. If we see Orangey like doing some content with Mr. Beast, I think that would be some pretty interesting things because obviously they're going to talk about crypto. We know Mr. Beast is opening up his own like capital like side of things, finance side of his business. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. And I've heard rumors and, saw some sightings that like, he might be opening up some sort of exchange or crypto exchange. I don't know if that's true, but we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of content creators try to make the trip to Saudi Arabia because Beast is there. So even just a selfie with him could do works on the timeline. So it makes sense for some of those bigger influencers to try to make that spontaneous trip. Yeah, dude. To be frank, the market is slow right now. It's choppy. It's boring. It's just one of those survival seasons of like, we're going to survive until it reverses. And right now it's chopping. So that's why we're just doing fun stuff. If you want to come hang out with us, hop in school. It's free. It's for like the base level of school. We have a Discord attached to school for either our first 100 school members, or we have, so if you're watching this and you were already a first 100 member, you need to get into the Discord or any paid members moving forward after that. The Discord is basically just real time discussion, hanging out, looking at stuff a little bit faster, alpha chat style. So, yeah, with all that being said, that basically ends today. Mario does have one more question. He said, what do you guys think about Abstract? I feel like there's a ton of potential there. If they nail the token launch, we should see killer NFT collections and winning tokens come out of it. Yeah, I'm bullish on Abstract. I'm a gold. He said, I'm asking because I'm farming it. I'm a gold, whatever, gold tier, gold badge, and I was streaming on it. I think they will pick up attention again once TGE gets closer. I think people farm to gold and then they realize it's like impossible to get the plat. And then there's just not enough sticky apps over there to like leave you on it. They need like better games and better apps and better reason to go. And I do think a lot of times they're trying to hit this mass adoption, like retail audience, but they're kind of skipping over the actual user base right now, which is degens and people that know how to do this stuff. So, I think they're missing a few marketing points, but I am bullish on Luca. I am bullish on Pudgy Penguins. I also think Pingu is a good leverage play to Abstract, because if you buy Pingu right now, Abstract doesn't necessarily have to succeed for Pingu to succeed. But if Abstract does succeed, then Pingu will also like basically guaranteed succeed. So I'm bullish on Abstract. I'm just not really doing anything because like I'm not going to get past gold tier. So it's like, what do you do, right? Like, you know, it's not sticky enough.
Yeah, some more kind of news here. Let me go ahead and where's my screen? There it is. This was just announced today by Magic Eden. They're starting buybacks of the ME token. So starting immediately, 30% of all secondary marketplace revenue will go back towards buybacks, 15% towards on-chain ME buybacks, and 15% towards NFT or towards NFT starting collections on Solana. So a lot of interesting news around the ecosystem. I think this is bullish for the ME token. I don't know their tokenomics like very well though. So that's, you know, caveat there, but yeah, that's pretty interesting news. Speaking of NFTs, speaking of all of this,
yeah,
that's, you know, I think that's pretty interesting there.
I almost read a controversial post on Magic Eden recently, despite being an ambassador for a year. I'll give the TLDR here, but they did buy out Slingshot and then they sunsetted Slingshot shortly afterwards. And you can still withdraw tokens from Slingshot. But after like January 6th or something, you can no longer do that. And they're supposed to distribute what would have been the Slingshot airdrop and Magic Eden rewards. I don't know. I didn't love that move. And I think it needs to be communicated more clearly on like exactly how they're going to distribute. But yeah, just add just some random info on that. If you did have Slingshot, you will get a Magic Eden airdrop after January 6th, which I did. I was a top 100 user. So I was bummed about it because I was a power user, but is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what were we just talking about before? Oh, Abstract. So yeah, like I know I'm switching it up, like back, we're moving back a step, going two forward step. Anyways, yeah, Abstract, pretty interesting. One of the things that Abstract's gonna have to do is like, you know, they're gonna have to compete for like, now they're doing a good job of like mind share, but like, yeah, like retaining that user is a different story. I think Flow has a similar story where great tech. They're continuing to develop. They actually have one of the really robust like developer scene at their hackathons at least. But you know, it seems like with Flow, they've retained like some pretty core users over the years. With Dapper, they have NBA, Top Shots, like a lot of like IP driven stuff that could reach retail. However, like it feels like their chain, like the price hasn't like really appreciated in value. And I think they need those like degens on chain. They've like ramped up their DeFi scene. So I think Abstract may have to do something similar, ramp up the DeFi scene, do things like make things more a little degenerate. Like you said, bring in quality apps and games. The airdrop could be potentially a really good one depending on how they do it. Cigar is like pretty good. I've seen his takes in the past of, you know, like what a good airdrop should look like, and who to reward. And I do like a lot of takes on that. However, it's easier said than done, like trying to weed out Sybil bots and like weed out all these airdrop farmers, and trying to get these funds into like legitimate users' hands. And I think that's why they did maybe streaming, to try to get it to like the end user more so than a farmer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So could be good, you know, base, Abstract. I think those are the like super big ones there, and possibly some of these collectible or RWA collector, you know, apps like possibly BZ one day. I don't really know. They have a point system, so does Fidgetals. Maybe we'll see something there. I do think the collectible RWA market is going to continue to grow. I think they're going to continue to take share away from, you know, some of the traditional Web2, you know, collector apps like, you know, even Rally. It's funny they bought that Charizard off of Rally. I'm like, in a way, that's almost like a torch passing of like the new guard of, you know, of where collectors are going in the future. And I think everything's just going to naturally be on chain. So I don't know if I was Rally, I'd be trying to implement blockchain into my app somehow, some way.
Yeah, I agree. There was a big argument of the seller, apparently, the alleged seller, saying, like, basically questioning why tokenization even matters. And I mean, clearly he knew his stuff. He's been a collector for a long time. He sold a $300,000 card. But it was a very interesting debate. I wish I could have seen stronger arguments from the tokenization side. But I won't go into that right now because we're wrapping up, but maybe next time.
One more. I got one more news here. Since, you know, we were talking about mainstream with collectibles. Speaking of mainstream, Cash App with 57 million monthly users is going to enable USDC payments in early 2026. Again, talking about payment systems, we just talked about X earlier in the podcast here. Now Cash App is going to be enabling USDC payments. So I think the speculation is going to be very strong for these, you know, these currency-based apps or whatever you want to call them, like, you know, money apps. And X literally is calling their version X Money. I think it's a good possibility that we could see crypto on X. And again, you're already seeing it here with Cash App. It's going to be powered by Solana, it looks like, firstly, and maybe we'll see more integrations with other blockchains, but pretty big news. I mean, that's pretty major.
Yeah, that is major.
I saw Square, they're integrating Bitcoin payments, like Jack Dorsey's app.
Yeah. Well, Jack Dorsey founded Square and he founded Block. He integrated Bitcoin payments into Square POSs, and there's 4 million point of services. And they also integrated like a map to be able to go find the terminals, the POS systems, and basically convince them to use BTC payments. You get 0%. If you pay in Bitcoin, it's 0% fees for the for year of 20 through 2026, which is a pretty big selling point.
Stable coins and Bitcoin are going to have a dogfight against each other. Like, because like with USDC, they have really good yield, really good DeFi protocols. And then with Bitcoin, it's just like obviously super scarce and a good hedge against inflation. But with USDC, kind of has the same elements to it. So it's going to be interesting to see the two, how they correlate, how they, you know, it's going to be funny to see like USDC, like market cap versus Bitcoin in terms of like how much minted USDC is on chain or whatever versus like Bitcoin. I think we'll start seeing that more play out in the coming, you know, months and years.
Yes, sir. All right. We're going to, let's wrap this thing up. Get in the school, get in the Discord. The school is Eugene Dats Discord if you're in the first 100 or if you're a paid member. And we'll be next Monday or Tuesday. We'll let you guys know. We're going to be interviewing Cryptoys, which is coming back to the founder, Will, who Cryptoys is actually launching on Abstract. And so we're going to have some information on that next week. And outside of that, we'll see you guys next time. Peace out, everybody.
Peace.